Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
Paul Jalash, over 500 recently arrived asylum seekers are currently without any state-provided shelter as the freezing weather continues. For many, the only option may be a tent in the streets of Dublin tonight, but with a further 350 international protection applicants living in longer-term tented accommodation, conditions have been described as just as bad as being outside by some of those who've been speaking to our reporter, John Cook, who's with me now. John, you might remind us of where these tents exactly are.
Yes, Cormac. They're at three direct provision sites around the country, including the grounds of the former Central Mental Hospital in Dundrum in Dublin, Colum Barracks in Mullingar in County Westmeath, and at the Knocklisheen Accommodation Centre, where Limerick City meets the borders of rural County Clare. In the case of Knocklisheen, these were the tents that would never be used again, according to the Integration Minister Roderick O'Gorman on RTÉ Radio 1 last year, after a number of the male asylum seekers living there had told me on Drive Time about the freezing and inhumane conditions they endured. It was just over a year ago. You may recall it prompted widespread concern and condemnation from many, including the United Nations Refugee Agency and the President Michael D. Higgins. But the government made a quick U-turn on that promise never to use these tents again, just weeks later, as the numbers of refugees and international protection applicants coming here surged. Today I met with some of the men living in the 13 army tents in Knocklisheen, and I've changed some of the names here, starting with Ken, who was transferred to a tent in March of last year. He's originally from Nigeria, and Ken worked in cleaning and construction here in Ireland over the last 3 years. After getting his legal residency and permission to stay here, he came to Ireland to seek asylum in 2014 and had lived in direct provision in Mayo and Cork, but is now out of work, having struggled to find a place to move on to or anywhere to rent and get out of the direct provision system, as he explained.
Okay, I work in cleaning, from cleaning to construction, so I've been trying all my best to get a place to live, but I can't get it. So when they said they're going to transfer me in tent, they said I'll be there for temporary. Uh-huh. So from there, they will get me a place.
It's an army tent in the countryside outside Limerick City that you came to last March, so you didn't expect to be there that long.
Yeah, I didn't expect to be there that long, because all my mind is that, okay, when they are putting me in there, they're going to put me there for just 2, 3, 4 months. From there, I'll continue my life, but I still found myself there now going a year.
You've been showing me videos of conditions in the tent, of where you sleep, of the wind blowing, and I'm thinking the freezing conditions the last few nights have made it quite difficult as well. What's it been like, or how do you describe it?
It's totally something else, because I don't even pray that for my enemy to live in that kind of situation, because it's very hard to sleep, it's very hard to do I can't think proper, because the weather of this time is totally critical.
What was it like last night?
Very cold. I can't sleep. We have to wear jacket before we go to bed. We have to dress like we're going out before we go to bed. And even since like 2 weeks now, I don't have a proper sleep. Mm-hmm. All my sleep don't more than 2-3 hours.
And I can see in your pictures and the videos you shared with me, it's still a tent, it's still canvas over poles. There's only so much a heater can do in this weather.
Yeah, with the heater they put there, it's still freezing.
Ken, can you continue to live like this?
No, I can't continue to live like this. I don't even know what to do at the moment. It's like I'm just way back now. There's nothing working in my head at the moment, all because of the situation I am now. There's nothing working, because the life is so hard for me now to say I'm happy. I'm not happy at all. And I'm someone that used to be happy when I'm working, and I can't go to work now when I'm in the tent. It's not somewhere a woman being should live.
There you go. That's Ken describing his tented accommodation as not being suitable for humans in this freezing weather. You spoke to others living there as well, John.
Yes, Cormac. Other men living in the tents in Knocklisheen share Ken's concerns, but were afraid to speak out, I was told. But one man told me he had to speak publicly about their situation, as he feels things can't get any worse for him now. Omar is from Mauritania, and he told me about fleeing persecution and having to leave his pregnant partner behind when he came to Ireland 12 years ago. He's never actually met their daughter, he told me, as he fought back tears, but sees her on video calls. And he's now almost giving up on his dream of reuniting with his family and supporting them in Ireland, because like others, he's lost his job because he had lived in Limerick City in a hotel for many years, but was moved to the tents out in the rural countryside in Knocklisheen 3 months ago.
We are living in a bad situation, and very sad if you go to Knocklisheen. Most of the people there, they lost their job. I used to start work at 8, and the boss there leave at 10 o'clock. You know, it is not possible to...
Not practical, I get what you're saying.
You see.
Can I ask you, have you, when you speak to your partner or your daughter on a video call, you've never seen her, do you tell them what's happened about losing your job or about living in a tent now?
Yes, I told them, because I have to support them, because it's my family, mm-hmm. You know, my daughter. There is even one moment she asked me about clothes to go to school. I did not have money. I was crying. I told them, I showed them the video where I'm living now. It's like I feel like shame, because, yeah, in Africa, when they think you are in Europe, they think you are in paradise, mm-hmm. You know. But if I show them intent, they say, what are you doing there? Huh. Come back home.
And you feel ashamed. Could you go back home?
This time, yeah. This time, if I have a possibility to go, I will go and leave this country.
Because while it is a difficult situation, you see more asylum seekers coming to Ireland right now, sleeping on the streets in Dublin. They have nowhere to go at all. And it seems very hard to find any accommodation. Do you hold out hope that there is still a better life for you in Ireland?
No. And I feel also sad to that people who are sleeping outside. The place we are sleeping in the tent is look like we are sleeping outside. Uh-huh. It's the same.
It feels the same to you?
We are in the same situation. And we did not expect that kind of life here, because we came here for a better life.
Uh-huh. What are your hopes now?
I lost hope, you know. I don't have any motivation now at this time. I don't have a passport to travel or to go back home. But if I have it today, I can go back home because of the life I'm living at the moment in the tent. I never have a problem with anyone. I say thank you for saving me until this time. But at the moment, the life we are living, it look like they destroy our life. I don't have any motivation. I lost hope, like.
That's Omar, who's lost hope, he says, of a better life in Ireland, 12 years in the direct provision system, and now living in a tent. I just wonder, John, how many others are in this situation this evening? Do we know that?
I asked the Department of Integration, Cormac, and was told that 251 international protection applicants are living in tented accommodation at the Central Mental Hospital in Dundrum in Dublin. 46 people are in this situation at Cullen Barracks in Mullingar, and 49 men are in the tents at Knocklisheen in County Clare, including Omar and Ken, who we've heard from there. They're being supported by local agencies in Limerick, including Durrus, which supports migrants and refugees, and says they're seeing a pattern of male asylum seekers who've got their residency status in Ireland now being transferred to tents because though they can stay here and get jobs, they can't find anywhere to live or any rental accommodation to move on to after years in the direct provision system. Fiona McCall is direct support manager with Durrus and describes these moves as a counterproductive step backwards.
You know, here they are now. They were working, they were contributing positively to society, you know, working full-time employment, and now being transferred to the tents, they're not able to continue with that employment. So it's one step forward, but like five step backwards, which is really sad. And that is having a tremendous impact on their physical well-being and, of course, their mental health.
This all comes at a really difficult time, though, when people are arriving in Ireland with no offer of accommodation now, international protection applicants, 400 or 500 sleeping on the streets of Dublin. I'm not sure if there's any hope to offer men like that or what the government can do to achieve it. What would you say, Indoris?
Well, I think from what you've heard from both Ken and Omar, the sense of hopelessness, and it's really unfortunate. I don't have the answers. I just hope that there is a more of a joined up thinking in terms of long-term strategies put in place for the housing crisis. You know, being able to put housing, modular housing together. We need to be able to re-inhabit housing that is derelict. You know, we need to have that long-term perception.
Just on a final note, Fiona, as well, when we hear protests this week saying, we'll take families, we'll take women, we'll take children, we don't want any male asylum seekers in our community, what do you say to that?
I say these people are human beings. You know, Ken and Omar are human beings. They've been in the system a long time. They have family. They have people that care for them. They deserve a chance to live in community that's going to be conducive to the embetterment of their lives. They are human beings and they deserve as much as any other human being.
And that is Fiona McCall of Durris in Limerick, ending John Cook's report.